Amen, amen. Appreciate you, Brother Donnie, for that song. Amen. We all want to be ready to meet him. Amen. I want to say good evening to everyone. Good evening. Trust that everybody's doing all well this evening. Amen. Even though the Texans lost. We're gonna keep moving. Ron Stokes, wherever he is, he called that this morning. Yeah, he did. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The songwriter went on to say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm thankful so much to the Lord this evening that I had another opportunity to come out and worship him in spirit and in truth, because it's by his grace and his mercy that we're able to be here tonight. For that, we're most grateful. I want to be thankful to Brother Gary in his absence. We want to pray for them on their way back. And to the leadership for allowing me another opportunity to stand before you tonight. And to those who are visiting with us, we welcome you. We're glad that you chose to be here tonight. You could have been anywhere, but you chose to be here and worship with us tonight. And time will be set aside a little later to formally welcome you. But for now, we trust that you will pay close attention to what's being said. We still believe in the Church of Christ to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Call Bible things by Bible names and do Bible things in Bible ways. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 11, he said, if any man speaks, let him speak as of the oracles of God. He says, say what God said. Don't add anything to it and don't take anything away. Is that all right? That's enough? I can sit? Okay. So I know we don't have a lot of time. People want to see the Cowboys play. I done heard everything. I've heard everything. So we're going to get right to it. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm until the end. He says, hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm until the end. So we hold fast this hope firmly until the end. If you're taking notes, I've entitled this lesson something that this Hebrew writer is trying to get us to do. He says we all need to do this. Get a grip. Get a grip. Follow me, Daryl. Follow me. We all need to get a grip. Get a grip. Now, the subtitle is what we all need to get a grip and do. And that's hold on to hope. Hold on to hope. Now, the scripture that was read was Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, it says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Now, that one body is Christ's church, the only church that you can read about in the Bible. The one spirit is the Holy Spirit, and the one Lord is Christ. The one faith is the doctrinal system of belief given by Christ that we are to follow. The one baptism is in water for the forgiveness of sin and then being added by Christ to his church. Amen. And there's no doubt as to who the one God and Father is. Now, the one hope is where we want to plant tonight. We want to focus our attention on the one hope. The one hope is the certain promise of salvation, the eventual union of eternal life in heaven with Christ. Now, Paul spent a lot of time in Ephesus, and this letter is believed to have been written while he was in prison in Rome. And he's trying to get this church with both Jews and Gentiles to be unified, especially since the Jewish Christians had a hard time accepting the Gentiles as brethren. So in chapter 2, Paul breaks it down for them. Look at what he says to the Jewish Christians in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, his fellow Jews, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Amen. So they didn't know or understand that they were saved by Christ's grace. They were once dead in their sins. Then when he gets to verse 11, he starts to speak to the Gentiles. In verse 11, he's telling them to remember, not to forget. Remember, not to forget. Y'all remember that? Yes, amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 11 reads, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So now look at that. The Gentiles were strangers, excluded, had no hope, and were without God in the world. But in verse 13, he says, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood. This is where Brother Benson would say, somebody ought to praise the Lord. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one, breaking down the barrier of the dividing wall. So now we're all even. So at one point, there was no hope for those Gentiles. Now, I don't know, someone may be Jew in here, but if you were not a Jew, you were a Gentile.
Yeah. Amen.
This is us. When he speaks of the Gentiles, he's speaking to us. We were lost without hope. There was one point everybody was not automatically a member of the Lord's church. We were lost without hope. But Christ brought them and us by his blood into a right relationship with God and put everybody on equal ground. So when Paul gets to chapter 4 and he's saying one body and one hope, they knew exactly what he meant by that. All are equal. There's no big I's and no little U's. All who have obeyed the gospel, all of us who are members of the body of Christ, have to get a grip on this same hope and hold on to it. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 13. The Bible says, but now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Now, we hear about having faith, and we hear a whole lot about love. But it's not too often that I hear too much about having hope. So the question, though, is what kind of hope do you have? Because what kind of hope you have, it makes a difference. Now, I want us to quickly look at hope, first from a worldly perspective and then from the Christian view. Now, the world, we're talking about people without God, they see hope from a different perspective. They see hope in a view of despair and fear or doubt and fret, especially when they're faced with challenging situations, and that's understandable. It's when these difficult and challenging times occur that they tend to see hope in the form of a wish. They wish that things would be different, or they wish that things would work out to their favor. And there's nothing wrong with wanting the best outcome for a bad situation, because that's normal. But the problem is they're operating mostly out of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. They're operating out of fear, the fear of an undesirable outcome. Then there's the hope that comes from expecting a desperate desire to be fulfilled. Y'all know what I'm talking about? A desperate desire. People feel like they have to have a relationship. I got to be married. Or I have to have X amount of money. Now, see, those hopes, they can be so strong that sometimes they'll lead to making hasty and risky and unwise decisions. Can y'all relate? And then we'll end up saying stuff like, Lord, if you get me out of this one, I'll be all right. See, now these are the kind of hopes that are loaded with anxiety and worry. And that's the most unfortunate way to live life. But sadly enough, it happens. But God be thanked that the Christian's way to hold on to hope is different from that. The Christian should know that hope is a divine certainty. that's eagerly anticipated and expected. Basically, that means that I know what Jesus did for me. Amen. And I know what the promises of God are. Amen. And I can't hardly wait to leave this old world to be with Christ. Amen. I'm not going to put a rush on it, but I can't wait. We also have to get a grip and hold on to hope in order to do this. Write this down. Keep hope alive. Amen. Keep hope alive. Now, I know you thought Jesse Jackson came up with that. No, this thought was long before Jesse Jackson got here. Amen. Way before Jesse Jackson. See, our hope is alive. It's not a dead hope. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to what? A living hope. Amen. See, I told you our hope is alive. It's through Amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ Amen. From the dead. So this hope is alive and it's living inside of us. It's moving, it's breathing all throughout our souls. Amen. It thumps with every beat of our heart. We walk in it, we talk in it, we live in it. We live with this compelling, this all-consuming thought that one glorious day we will be with the Lord. Amen. Titus chapter 2, look at that. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Doing what? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What are we looking for, church? Are we looking for and longing with eagerness for Christ's return? Amen. That's what we need to be looking for. Now, we also have to get a grip and hold on. Get a grip and hold on to, write this down, the audacity to hope. The audacity to hope. Now, I know you think Barack came up with that. He wrote the book, The Audacity of Hope. But I'm talking about the audacity to hope. This is something different. Audacity means to be fearless and courageous, to be bold, confident, and assured. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 tells us this. It says, having therefore such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. That came from the Lord. Now, all of us as born again Christians, disciples of Christ, as children of the Most High God, can see ourselves having the audacity to hope. Amen. It's because we have the assurance and confidence that we get from God our Father and his word. We can have the confidence in knowing that the things that our God has promised us, he will deliver. We don't have to wonder if he'll show up. We know that if it's his will, he will not only show up, he'll show up and show out. We don't have to look far for proof of this. We can look to our personal experiences in our own lives for examples. You know you had some God-only situations occur in your lifetime. Amen. We all have. If you haven't, the old folks used to say, just keep on living. Now, when we get a grip and hold on to this hope, nothing can shake us from our faith. Nothing. No matter what the case is, we can rest assured. And that's because of Romans 8:28, when Paul said, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to the call according to his purpose. Now, the hope, this type of hope, is only for those who are the called. He said, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. Those who embracing Christ's love and the sacrifice that he made on the cross for all are those who are the called according to his purpose. I'm reminded of a song that I haven't heard in a while. I'm not going to sing it, but I'm reminded of it. We used to sing it a whole lot when I first became a Christian. It says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, Amen. I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. So the shedding of Jesus' blood made a way for us to have the slightest hope of heaven. Remember, we were lost and without hope. Now, that's something that I don't have to wish for. That's promised. Heaven awaits those who are the called, the children of God. And we can also turn to God's word for examples. Romans 15, verse number 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So those things that were written were situations where only God can get the glory. Like when the three Hebrew boys were in the fiery furnace, and Daniel was in the lion's den. David, when he faced Goliath, or Jesus, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, those were God-only situations. Now, also, I'm going to hold on to hope because I know that the situations that are beyond my control, the things that I nor anyone else can fix, they are possible with God. And I'm also going to hold on to hope because I know that this, write this down, I know that hope floats. Yeah, hope floats. Christian hope doesn't sink. It won't sink into oblivion. It'll hope. It'll float. Though I may feel like I'm drowning in the waters of my misfortunate circumstances, like I can't keep my head above water, it's one thing after another. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Does that only happen to me? I can hold on to this hope. It is during these tough times that I can look to the hope that I've been holding on to. I can count on the assurance that God will be with me to help me stay afloat. I can't count on man. No, I can't. I cannot count on man. I can't even count on myself sometimes. But I can always, always count on God to be there in my time of need. And even if he doesn't react when I want him to, when he does, he's always on time. It's because of God that I can put my faith and my trust in the future. As this life goes forward, I can look back at David, who came to realize that God would not leave him nor forsake him. He learned firsthand how God is a God of hope who delivers as he promised. Paul learned it too. Over in Philippians chapter 4, when he finished out that letter, he said in verse number 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in his glory by Christ Jesus. You have to go back and read that passage at beginning about verse 10, and you'll see why Paul said that. You'll see that because they met the needs of Paul, who was doing the mission of the Lord. Amen. He tells them how they can be assured that God would bless them too. The same thing is with the body of Christ. When we give of our time and our talents and our resources, God gives back to us. Amen. Make no mistake about it, though. God will give simply because he's a loving and he's a gracious God. But he also blesses us when we give to him and meet the needs of the church. So we don't have to worry. All we have to do is know. Know that for sure we serve a great God who can do all things according to his will. I also come to understand that the one hope that's in Ephesians 4 isn't just a joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. It's also an understanding. Understanding that helps us to cope with our most difficult situations is how we're able to get through the loss of a loved one or a job or deal with a sickness or a financial crisis. So it's also important to get a grip and hold on to the hope so that we can be ready always. Amen. Be ready at always. Amen. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 3 and we'll deal with something right quick. 1 Peter chapter 3. Excuse me. Now, keep in mind that this letter is an apologetic letter. And the Greek word apologia simply means to give a defense or an explanation for something. We get the English word apology from it, but we use it differently. In the Greek, you wouldn't say, I'm sorry. You would explain to the person you're apologizing to why you did what you did, what you did, and how you were wrong. Does that make sense? We say, I'm sorry. We use it differently. When Peter wrote this letter, he wrote it while he was under persecution in Rome, and he wrote it to Christians who were about to face persecution. And he said that because he knew that trouble was on the way. And it's the same for us. Brother Ray already talked about trouble this morning. Did a masterful job. Who in here hasn't had trouble? We've all had trouble at some point in time. But Job said, In Job 14, verse 1, he said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But Psalms 46 tells us that God is our refuge and strength and very help in trouble. Now, I know I can count on God to be in the midst of the trouble that I'm having here and now. So Peter is writing to the church to try to help them and help us understand handling the trouble that's on the way. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. Now, but sanctified means to consecrate. We've been talking all year about consecrated. Sanctified means to consecrate. So he wants us to consecrate ourselves to the Lord God. He's talking about Christ here. People want to make Christ their Savior, but not his Lord. Christ wants to be Lord over our lives. Amen. And then he says, in your hearts. He's talking about the cardia. He's not talking about the thump-thump heart. He's talking about the think-think heart. He's talking about the heart that animates our lives, that carries us every day. We move, we breathe. Every way that we act is because of how we think, that particular heart. He says, have that heart ready and prepared to always, unceasingly, never without fail, to give an answer, a defense, an apologia to every man that asks you a reason. The word that they use here in the Greek here for reason is logos. Logos means word. People need to hear a word. They need to hear a word. They don't need to hear your opinion. They need to hear the word. Amen. He says, give a reason for the hope that is within you. This hope is confidence. Why are you acting the way you act? You're supposed to give this in meekness and fear. Now, Peter is saying like this. There is an expected way for a Christian to act when trouble is happening. Now, I have to be different, because if my actions are the same as the world's, nobody's going to see a reason to ask me anything. Right. You know, when people see us and we're acting different from the norm, so to speak, some of them are going to want to know why, because it's going to look strange. Right. Peter said, be ready always to explain why. Sometimes the only Bible that people see is us. The only Christianity that they'll come in contact with is us. So the way we behave can help win souls to Christ, because we don't know who's watching at what time. God will create a situation just for us to witness to someone. And Peter says to us to be ready always. Are we ready, church? If we're planning on making heaven our home, we have to get a grip and hold on to hope. Amen. To keep hope alive. We have to get a grip and hold on to the audacity to hope. We have to get a grip and hold on, because hope floats. And lastly, we have to get a grip and hold on to hope in order to be ready always. Not just to hold on to the reason, but to share it. Amen? Amen. If you're here and you have not been baptized into the body of Christ, I have to tell you, you're outside of the hope. You need to have this hope. I could not stress that enough. You are without hope. You get it by hearing and believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He lived, he died, he buried, he was rose again the third day according to the scriptures. If you believe that and you're willing to repent, to change from doing things your way to doing things God's way, and then have a heart that's willing to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be baptized in water for the remission of your sins and receive the gift, amen, of the Holy Spirit, which is that one hope. Amen. We can baptize you tonight. You can leave here tonight having that one hope, amen, that you can get a grip on and hold on to. And if you're here and you need prayer, don't minimize the power of prayer. Amen. God will put a comma, amen, where man has put a period. Come down front. Let us pray with you. Let us pray for you. If you're subject to any part of the invitation, please come as we stand and sing.
Amen. There's a fountain free. 'Tis for you and me. Let us hail.